The Dragon Reread is brought to you by the Armadillo Podcasting Club. Hello there, and welcome back to The Dragon Reread. We are watching season 2 of the Wheel of Time TV show and talking about it. I'm Jeff Lake.
I'm Alice Sullivan.
And I'm Micah Sparkman.
And today we're going to watch episode 4 of season 2 of Wheel of Time. So, how are we feeling?
Okay. Not great so far, right? Not excellent. Mm-hmm. What I do remember is last time was the Nynaeve's test thing, yeah, where she went through the rings and
never
then
came back.
And never came back.
Right.
But then she came back because Nynaeve's right, just better than everyone else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Rules are just different for Nynaeve, which is actually faithful to the book.
That's true. I'm just surprised she didn't punch her way out, you know?
Right, yeah. Well, in 3,000 years, no one's ever tried punching their way out.
I was gonna argue and say like Nynaeve like breaks social rules and, you know, stuff like that, but like the rules of magic kind of don't apply to her either, because she did figure out how to, like, fix people who had been stilled, so...
Yeah, right? And that, yeah, there was also that thing in the books where she could channel in the test and she wasn't supposed to be able to channel.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Because she's just built different.
Yeah.
I guess so.
but it was all this long fake-out where it was like... Well, no, it wasn't a fake-out, was it?
It was a fake-out.
Yeah, it was a fake-out where it... Well... We sussed it pretty fast, but essentially the idea was that it looked like she had left and then had a whole life with Lan.
Right.
And then, oh, wait, no, you're actually still... You never left.
It's all a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think... Okay, yeah, this is where I'm at. I don't know if we said this last time, but that betrays the point. The point...
Because of it,
she lived a whole life with Lan.
Yeah.
And then in her dream, like, Trollocs came and killed them all.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the point
is she has to abandon her potential life with Lan.
But yeah, no, it's like...
She got to have her cake and eat it too.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, much less shitty now. Good time to leave, you know?
Yeah, she had to, like, in order for it to work, she had to have, like, looked back and seen her kid and, like, left her kid.
But she tried there to take her kid with her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So no, it's supposed to work.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I think they just wanted to add some drama, I guess, or... I don't know.
No, they've never done that before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, so bad, and... Is anything else anybody wants to add before we...
I'm trying to remember. There was the bit with Loghain and Rand where he had to do like a fetch quest for some booze.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In order to get help.
Because he wants Loghain to help him teach him to do magic.
Right. And then Ishmael. There's a whole thing with Ishmael and Perrin, I think.
Yeah, with the Shanshan, right? And they make
Udo
eat the spike.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Wow.
Oh, right, that's right. They killed Uno.
They did kill Uno.
God damn, I like Uno.
Yeah, I liked Uno.
Well, I guess he's dead now.
Listen, we're partially refreshing our memories because, once again, we strike while the iron is ice cold. And it's been a while since we watched the previous one, but
we have to take some time to recuperate between each episode.
Yes.
Trust me, it's better for you, the listeners.
If you eat a bunch of shit, you need some time to let your stomach settle.
That's right. As the old saying goes.
I think Tom Marilyn said that.
He did.
And we finally got to see Celine / Lanthier. Yeah, she's pretty
good. That actress is doing a good job. I think that's delivering.
Yep.
I think all the actors are doing it. Fine job.
I think the actor playing Rand is pretty unemotive.
Yeah.
He seems pretty stiff.
I actually kind of feel the same way about Perrin's actor. He's... Oh, now it's my fault. Sorry. I actually feel a bit the same way about Perrin's actor. Like, he's... Like he has... not that he's unemotive, but he has, like, a single face that he uses for everything, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't always make sense. It's kind of like, he's like kind of brooding, like, glower or whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because in the books, Perrin, everybody assumes Perrin is dumb because he doesn't respond to things, like, outwardly, and also he's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But...
No, he just has to take time to do things. Oh.
But you just gotta... I think the actor... Maybe they're not giving the actor enough to go on because he gotta show something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, so, from here, anything could happen. It could get really good. I'm excited.
It could get so good, guys.
We should
really get our hopes up.
Yeah, episode 4, it's gonna be... Oh, this is where it turns.
All right, so listeners, next time you hear from us, we're gonna have our opinions completely changed by episode 4 of this TV series.
Yeah. It's gonna be the best thing we've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And we're back. We just watched episode 4 Let's see, what happened? Perrin hangs out with Elias for a while and learns some wolf talk.
I have to say, when they first did the wolf talk thing, it was like a little eye-rolly, but I think it's not bad. Like, the way they're showing, like, the way wolves communicate in images, I'm okay with it, right?
It's
like,
it's okay. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Fine.
That's a hard thing to
portray.
The
thing in the books where they're like extremely complex images that you can't convey in words.
Yeah.
Sure. Like they send each other kind of wolf visions.
Yeah. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
It is a little funny that Perrin's eyes turn gold only when he's seeing wolf visions, I guess. I don't know.
You know.
Maybe eventually they start sticking gold.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Elias is gold all the time, so maybe he's just wolf talking all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, I was just going to do a quick thing. So also, Nynaeve gets tapped by Leandrin to go rescue, quote-unquote, Perrin and Loial, but it turns out it's a trap.
Yeah.
She brings Egwene and Elaine
yeah.
with her. And they get got by Leandrin.
So Leandrin was not expecting her to bring Egwene and...
She's not expecting her to bring Elaine.
Okay. So Egwene is expected, not
yeah. Elaine. Egwene might be the target, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, Lan spends a lot of time talking about boring stuff with the other warders,
mm-hmm.
Who are apparently trying to find, like...
Information,
and, like, the last thing they tried was going through his saddlebags, and they find that prophecy.
Yeah.
Which it turns out to be a land fear. Moraine is hunting down Rand, following his trail through Kyrian, and meets up with her younger/older sister, and they have a whole conversation. I actually kind of like that. But and then Rand is making it with Celine.
Yeah.
When it's about to go, real crazy, Moraine shows up and kills her.
But doesn't really.
Because she has Wolverine powers.
Yes. So, I'm pretty sure I said that I was done with this show before, but I only thought that I was done with this show. Now, I'm truly done.
Oh.
So, as I was watching this episode, I kept thinking to myself, like, we've read these books, right? So we have, like, impressions about where things should be going,
yes.
what things should be doing. So I always try and, like, ask myself from the perspective of someone who hasn't read this, would this be good? Would this be interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be confusing, honestly. Like, I still think this would be kind of confusing to follow because, like, there are all these different plot threads that are going in kind of confusing ways. There's so many characters. I'm not sure if someone who hadn't read the books could follow what's happening, but I don't know. Yeah.
There's so much going on, and they're not doing a great job of connecting it to each other.
No.
Right? They, like, Leandrin comes in and says, Perrin and Loial are in danger. Do we know who that is? They didn't say Perrin and Loial's name in this episode, so if you're just watching this episode, you don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen Loial in a while. But he's
totally not dead, except that time he was dead.
In the first season, and nothing in the first season actually counts.
Apparently.
Right.
We're in a new season now, and Loial's alive again.
The thing with Lanfear, honestly, really sucks. Because I thought that actress was doing a good job. I thought they were doing a good job slow-burning this relationship between Lan and Celine.
Yeah.
Even though they changed around how it worked from the books.
Rand and Celine.
I meant Rand and Celine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they... Because I think it makes sense, right? She's kind of this older woman that sort of accepts him for what he is, like a worldly woman, and he kind of is into that because he just got out of a bad relationship with Egwene, because all relationships with Egwene are bad.
That's a good point.
You see why he likes her, right?
Yeah, and I think something really interesting could be done with the idea that he's being slowly seduced by this Forsaken, right?
Yeah.
But then... So something interesting could be something interesting with this, like, Celine Rand thing. But, like, then Moraine's like, no, she's a Forsaken. Bam.
But it's not this.
Yeah.
Right? Because what apparently happened is that she got him to reveal his powers to her.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she accepted him, pretended to accept him for who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's gonna like, encourage him to use his powers more and, like, make him into, like, an evil guy who uses power all the time. Right? Corrupt him.
Sure.
That, honestly, kind of an interesting way to take that, right?
Instead, what she does is she ties him to a bed all sexy-like and is about to do some magic to him. Actually, I'm evil, too.
Uh-huh. I'm a monster.
Wait, was he inside her while that was... I was unclear to me.
That was like TV show sex. They had their pants on.
Okay. Right? Cool.
I mean...
I didn't know if they were, like, mid-fuck when she was like, okay, here we go.
She had him tied up with some rags after he just used magic powers to kill a... Hell demon?
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. But it's like, it's sexy, right?
He doesn't want to get.
And
free.
I honestly, like, if she's on top of you and she's like, actually, I'm a bad person too, and you think she's about to, you know, do something freaky, right?
yeah, you're gonna be like, I'm into this. Yeah. You know?
She Let's said monster, which yeah. is a little. Different.
You know what? I'm still into it. yeah.
That
oh.
moment.
Oh, yeah. Show me that monster. Yeah.
But she's clearly gonna do some magic shit to him, right?
Yeah.
And then Moraine cuts her throat, like right in front of him. You
yeah.
know?
Wait, no. Stabs her through the heart and then cuts her throat. But and then Moraine's like, "Oh, you killed her." Moraine's like, "Nah, she's
no, oh, she's bad.
She's a Wolverine. She can regenerate."
And I'm an Aes Sedai. I can't lie. Except she's not Aes Sedai anymore.
Yeah, so she can definitely.
True?
In the books, it wasn't true, right? In the
no,
books,
she was able to lie.
Yeah, in the books, she was totally able to lie. In this show, she said it twice.
In this episode, she said it twice. Yeah,
right, yeah.
Oh, that could be a lie.
And I keep thinking,
I think
like,
it is.
Like maybe it's a lie. I don't. Maybe it's just not. Maybe they simplified it. But like this is dumb. Mm-hmm. Lanfear was just like a super powerful wizard, right? And her power came from, well, her power. And also from her, like, cunning. Like, she's so dangerous because she's so deceptive.
Yeah.
Right? It's not because she's fucking Wolverine.
Yeah.
She's not a superhuman.
Yeah. What do you think the whole blood thing was? They were talking a lot about blood with Lanfear, and it's unclear to me, like, is that supposed to be part of Lanfear's mythos? Like, okay, blood calls to blood, and there's blood in her blood, and also her blood is bloody. You know?
Yeah, I mean.
And she was dripping blood when she came out of the.
I liked the bit when Ishmael opened up the seal and she was all, like, covered in blood.
Yeah.
And she's like a blood lady.
But why?
Yeah.
I don't understand what that. Yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing.
Also,
yeah.
I'm disappointed. That scene where Moraine and Lanfear fight and they go into the portal, that was, like, epic in the books.
Totally, right?
I would have loved to have seen that, even though I guess that would have been confusing and probably expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but instead, it's a knife in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just, it's so over-ridiculously dramatic.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make any sense.
No.
Yeah.
Like, Rand didn't notice. He was looking. He didn't notice Moraine come through the door. And charge her with a knife?
No,
he did have his sex goggles on.
Yeah, she was actively riding him. I'm not sure I would have noticed a dragon walking through that door.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just really don't like what they did with that character. And that's one of the things I thought they were doing well in the show, Selene character.
It was interesting, yeah. We even talked about it before watching this episode, how like, oh, that wasn't that bad. So I don't know, maybe Rand's going to have some like thing where he's like, well, I know she's a Forsaken, but maybe she's not so bad.
She let me put my penis in her. So
several times, you know?
I burned down her inn with my penis.
What is he said to her? You're the first person who's seen me as a man. As like, except for Egwene.
Yeah. Yeah, you had a whole thing with her.
Yeah.
And by the way, fuck Egwene, right?
Aww.
I don't like the way that turned out.
Yeah.
No.
And even in this episode, she was talking about her former lover, that, you know, things went badly for her. And I thought it was pretty obvious that she's talking about Luz Theron Telamon.
Yeah, sure. As she's like talking, does she know that Rand is Luz Theron at this point? I'm trying to remember.
I think she knows who
he is. She must know that he's like.
I think she'd known from the beginning.
Yeah, she's been on to him. So I thought that's a really cool little game she's playing, kind of a little irony where she's talking about him, where she's talking about this lover that she eventually drove away by being too badass or whatever, too much of a baddie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm mad about that.
Yeah, it's a weird twist to throw in there. Like they were working up to something and just like changed their mind or something? I don't know. Are we going to talk about the biggest travesty though, that we had that gratuitous land peeing scene and didn't even show the goods?
We saw nothing.
Yeah. They had an opportunity to show us land's like miraculous dawn.
It's
but
like,
no.
Okay, I was thinking, come on, this is a working villa, right? There are vineyards here. These people have a latrine, Lan.
Yeah.
You're just peeing on a tree by the river. That's so
well, annoying. There wasn't a river there before. Now there's a river because of the land's massive urine stream.
Yeah, so Alana and her warders are working on Lan, I guess, to figure out what Moraine was into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unclear if they're going to be dark friends or not, though, right?
I don't think so. We thought they were going to be dark friends because it had Ishmael's voice like chanting when they read that letter, but that's because it was the Dark Prophecy.
Oh.
It's not necessarily because they were reading Dark Prophecy.
I was getting the impression, though, which would be kind of an interesting turn of events.
Yeah, that would be a somewhat interesting twist.
Yeah.
And I hate this whole Lan Moraine separation thing.
Yeah.
It's a weird choice because it does. I don't get it. Like it doesn't seem like it drives anything in the plot particularly. And Landon Moraine, like as a duo,
Great.
They're interesting, right?
Yeah, they're a cool pairing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They make up for each other's weaknesses and they play off each other well.
Yeah, they're such a great relationship that Robert Jordan wrote a book just about like their relationship.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this whole season they've been separated. And Lan has been doing nothing.
They've been separated for what still feels like a really contrived reason, right? Yeah. Like Moraine lost her powers, and so she's like, "No, I don't want to hang out with you anymore," or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Like, doesn't make any sense because she needs him more than ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although apparently not, because she can just sneak up to on Lanfear, daughter of the night, and gank her.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, she didn't kill her. You know.
She didn't because you can't be killed because.
Because she has Wolverine powers.
Healing powers now.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
So I guess we did in Leandrin. We got the NDA origin story. This is why they're leaving the tower, I guess.
Yeah, that's why they left before. Remember, Leandrin was like, "I've got secret orders for you. You got to come here."
It did make me a little happy that there are just like these goobers springing a trap because that's kind of true to form.
That's absolutely true.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That was like classic NDA.
Yeah. Yeah.
First trap of many, I hope.
Yeah. Yes. This is just the beginning. Does he look at the camera?
Yeah.
But yeah.
So Leandrin is confirmed evil now? Or?
Well, so we've been talking about this. I don't remember if we talked about this on the episode, but it seems like they merged Elida and Leandrin. So we were not sure if they were going to make Leandrin a dark friend or not, but this makes it pretty clear that she's going to be a dark friend. So
she's wearing a black dress.
Yeah.
Which means she's Black Asha.
Oh, that's right. Damn it. Yeah, it was right there in front of her eyes all this time.
So is her son going to end up being a fake thing too? Just another lie?
No, he's going to be a dark friend.
The old guy who's dying?
Yeah, he's a dying dark friend. Okay. I don't know, yeah. So yeah, I the question is, are they actually going to have Elida or are they going to just have a dark friend take over the White Tower?
I think they'll just have Leandrin.
Yeah.
That'll simplify the whole thing.
Fair enough.
I mean, I did like that business about how Elida was this antagonist that was too much of a jerk even for the dark friends, right? Who would need to take her, you know?
They're like, we could turn her, but like, come on, do we really want to deal with that, right?
Yeah. I'm just thinking about relationships and all these powerful women who, in the show, have relationships.
Yeah.
Like, Leandrin has a boy, you know, a child. Mm-hmm. She's a mother.
Well, yeah. She's got to have a man there so that you know what she's feeling.
Yeah, right?
Right. Ooh, yeah.
God.
And the only other thing, I guess, I think I forgot to mention was Min and Matt.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's a big one, right? So we had the Min and Matt duo, and it's like, okay, Min's kind of working with Leandrin, annoying, whatever. But then Ishmael shows up, and Min talks to Ishmael, and he's like, yeah, I'm a Forsaken. And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, come on. And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
So Min betrays Matt to a Forsaken.
It's implied that she does, yes.
Yeah.
Which
so he'll take away her super badass power?
Yeah, right?
I mean, yeah.
What? I guess there was a weird minute there where they showed like her past where her family was using her power to make money and it made her really miserable or whatever.
Yeah, she used to not like it. It used to be a really bad scene, but that's not how she is now. She's on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. That's weird. Mm-hmm. I feel like neither of those characters are where they need to be. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was losing at dice? What was that about?
He already had his good luck powers at this point, right?
Yeah, he had them like almost from the start, right?
Yeah.
He got them in Shatter Logoth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't unless this is one of those things where his good luck is making him lose because it's a good thing for him to lose in this case. That happens sometimes, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's unclear why that would be in this case.
I did like that one innkeeper that was like down for skullduggery.
Yeah.
He's like, that's a lot of money for these drinks. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get this guy fucked up. Do you have an attic? And he's like, you want to go to the attic? Yeah, I'm meeting someone. Don't know who. Send him up there when they need it. And then he was like, yep, on it. Include me in the plot. I want to be a part of it.
They're not even in Kyrian. I was going to see if they're in Kyrian. That makes sense because everyone's down for skullduggery, right? But no, they're just in some random place. I don't know.
This is just a full service innkeeper.
He's like, whatever, you know, this is what the inn does, you know?
Yeah. The one thing this show keeps nailing is the sets and the costumes. Design.
Agreed.
Oh man, yeah, the
costumes are great.
Yeah, fantastic costumes. There's like there's character in different places, and the outfits, they're interesting. They show they all tell something. They're not, none of them are generic. And we commented on the fact that they did several scenes in the accepted testing room, because that room is fucking awesome. They have to use that room, set. Yeah. Even though it doesn't make any sense to use it.
Expect all the value out of it.
Yeah, it's an amazing set. So yeah, they did some really cool, they did some really cool set work.
And Maureen's Kyrianon dress looked amazing, because I was remembering back, they talked about like it had the stiff skirts that went out and like it was kind of higher raised. It was very cool.
Yeah, I agree.
It looked really good. I liked her scene with her sister, her younger sister who's now older than her, or apparently.
Sure.
And how they had kind of a weird relationship, because Maureen left when the family had, like, the I'm trying to remember like the history there. We know the history from the books, right?
Yeah, she's her uncle, her sister was like, our uncle disgraced us. That was the king.
Laemon.
King Laemon, who caused the Aiel War.
That's right. And as a result, their house essentially fell onto, you know, no money times.
Right.
And she had a really rough time dealing with that.
Yeah, well, I don't think they ever had like a hard time in the books.
No, but
they're wealthy and powerful, but in the show it's implied that, and then Maureen left, or around that time she left.
Yeah.
And so this younger woman was in charge of, what, that doesn't add up. Because in the picture,
she was much younger.
Yeah, she was much, anyway, whatever. Time is fungible. But yeah. I like that, I always thought in the books that idea that Aes Sedai live a really long time and that's why they have trouble forming normal human relationships with other people is, I thought that was an unexplored idea actually in the books for the most part.
Yeah.
Right? Like we see the Aes Sedai being assholes and treating everybody they meet like pawns in their games.
Right.
But I don't think the books really make it very clear that that's because Aes Sedai live so much longer than everybody that's how they see the world.
They barely count as people, right?
Yeah.
But they nailed it with those interactions, though. Maureen was very dismissive of her.
Yeah, absolutely. You can definitely see.
Yeah, she walks in and is like, oh, yeah, we haven't talked in 9 years. I don't care, you know? But her sister wanted to have a conversation with her.
Right, and her sister kind of turns the tables on her a little bit and says, you're going to need my help.
And I feel like we were finally seeing Maureen the way she was, which was just so always so single-minded in her quests.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, you know, there's the whole money problem thing, right? But as soon as she went to the White Tower, don't they get like a wild stipend from the White Tower? So she could have been helping her family with their money problems.
She could have.
And she didn't.
She didn't.
Cool. All right.
Huh.
She's got more important things to do.
Yeah, that's right.
She has to go have sex in a river house with the Omerlinzi.
A magic river house. Those are expensive, you know? You can't just have sex in a regular river house. Jeez.
Not if you're an Aes Sedai.
And we haven't seen Xuan Sanche.
This season.
This entire season, yeah.
He's probably died of embarrassment.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. So that's it for this episode. Next time, we'll be back for episode 5 of The Wheel of Time, season 2. I'm Jeff Lake. You can find me at jefflake.info.
I'm Alice Sullivan. That's Blue Bonnet Cafe on Instagram.
I'm Micah Sparkman. I still don't have one of those.
If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please drop us a line at hello@armadillo.club.
We'd love hearing from you.
Please share us with anybody you think might like us. Please give us good reviews wherever you got this. Please find out how you can give us your dollars at armadillo.club. Please like us in real life.
We're just so likable.
Until next time.
The light illumine you.